In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning and Happy New Year to you. This is a time of year when we hear a traditional story. It's a story about a pair of anxious parents who depart one day's travel away from their son, who they've left behind without realizing it. And they anxiously look around for him and realize he's not with the traveling party and work as hard as they can until finally they're able to return and find him safe and sound in his father's house. I'm referring, of course, to the story of Home Alone, the great box office hit of the 1990s. And according to inflation-adjusted profits for the movie, you've all seen it, possibly several times. But I'm going to connect a few things to it anyway. There's a sort of delight we get in watching a film like Home Alone, where the child seems to take advantage of and get the better of the adults in the movie. It's fun to watch, and it's particularly fun to watch if you yourself are a child and have that wisdom that you're very clear on, which is that all of the adults around you are kind of bumbling their way through things and don't really have all the great wisdom that you at the age of 12 or 10 do. And it's fun to watch Kevin, who's the protagonist of the story, this young boy left in a large house with all kinds of resources to work with, try to figure out how he's going to manage his own fledgling adulthood in the movie. He is home alone, and you get to kind of watch what he makes of it. And he's not quite ready to regulate his excesses, and so there's fun little scenes where he'll do something like eat an entire gallon of ice cream, or stay up late watching mobster flicks and then start jumping in the middle of the night at every noise in the house. He hasn't quite figured out the consequences of all of his actions. But the movie sort of challenges him to become the man of the house when two bumbling robbers arrive to burgle it. And Kevin's able to fight them off with swinging paint cans and frozen staircases and other booby traps of his own invention. Now, anyone who's a parent knows that the best booby trap would simply be to dump Legos out throughout the house and let them walk over them. But Kevin becomes a little more creative, and you get to watch him fend these guys off. Now, when I was a child, that was the fun of the movie, and that was sort of the stakes of it for me. Could Kevin beat these guys, who are bigger than he is and stronger than he is, and ought to be smarter, but these two aren't? But as I've grown up and still watch the movie now and then when it comes on TV, I realize that the actual challenge to Kevin, the actual invitation to become an adult, is played out in the quieter things that happen in the story. You see, over the course of being alone for several days, Kevin realizes that he misses his family. Even though as the youngest they'll kind of pick on him, even though his older brother will bully him, he loves them. And he realizes that they love him too. And over the course of the movie, he starts to make choices beyond simply eating all the ice cream in the house. And he does things like he'll go out and he'll go to church because he realizes he wants to hear the hymns and the music and the traditional songs that he's become used to growing up in his family. And slowly, the most important thing that happens, I think, in the movie is he becomes friends with this old man who's sort of a terrifying figure to the neighborhood boys, Old Man Marley. And the kids have this story that he's killed somebody and put them in the salt truck for the salt that they use to melt the snow. And he walks around with his snow shovel, kind of spreading salt around for the neighborhood. But the kids are convinced that he's one of these urban legend figures. But Kevin sees him in church, and he risks having a conversation with him. I'm not suggesting that kids ought to go and talk to dangerous strangers, but it's what happens in the movie. And Old Man Marley turns out to be this kindly grandfather who's worried that his granddaughter might not want to know him anymore as she grows up. And Kevin's able to recognize in this older man loneliness, and he's able to reach out to him with empathy and offer him some advice that surely his granddaughter does want to get to know him again. And he's able to offer this man a little bit of healing. Now that actually is the most adult action of the film. Not the swinging paint cans, not the fending off robbers with a BB gun, but being able to grow up in his heart and in his mind and as a human being. Now, the story of Jesus in the temple lacks the comic violence of Home Alone. There's no one trying to raid the temple at this point. There's no one to fight off with swinging incense or anything like that. But Jesus, like Kevin, is left behind by his family, and his mother goes through that same anxiety of wondering where in the world her child is. And what an anxiety, right? No parent wants to go through this. No mother, no father wants to wonder whether their child is out somewhere in the world in a place that might be dangerous or a place where they might experience suffering or the brokenness of the world. No parent wants to be without a knowledge of where their child is and have to face the possibility that their child might be in danger. Mary's anxiety is very real and very understandable when she finally finds Jesus and says, "Don't you know how worried we were about you?" And she almost misses, and perhaps she misses entirely, his reply to her, "Didn't you know that I'd be in my father's house?" Not his father Joseph, who's been looking for him, but his father God, who's inviting him to come into his own adulthood. Now, the spiritual adulthood that Jesus will face is the deepest and profoundest of any person in history. The life that he'll be called into is a dangerous one. It's one that leads right into the heart of the broken and the suffering and the violent parts of the human world. Jesus is asked to go forward into those very places that his mother might have worried he'd be threatened by when he was 12 years old. But he does it as an adult, and he does it with his eyes wide open, and he does it bearing the light of God's message and the truth of God's love for a world that needs to hear those things. Jesus in the temple at 12 years old is almost a man. He's not quite 13. He's not quite ready to make his profession from the Torah. He's not quite ready to become a man in the rituals and the rites of his society and culture. But he's almost there. And we see in his actions the way that he's preparing himself to be that adult person. He goes to the temple. He goes to the place where people are worshiping God and talking about God and trying to figure out what the life of faith is. Jesus goes there, and he does a few simple things. He listens, and he asks questions, and then he begins to give answers. And everyone who's there, everyone who can hear him, is amazed by the answers he gives. Now, my experience of this story is a little bit similar to my experience of Home Alone. When I was a child, what I liked most about the story was that Jesus was getting the better of the adults, right? Again, every child knows that they know more about faith and God and how to be a human being than the adults around them, those bumblers, those hypocrites, those people who seem to have lost something as they've grown up and passed that horrible number of 21 and somehow seem to have joined the other team. But as you grow up, you realize that there's more to this story, that there's a delight that these priests and teachers and rabbis experience in seeing a young man so eager, so ready, so willing to take on the lessons of faith, so willing and ready to take on the task of being in relationship with God. It's something that I have the privilege of seeing from our own youth now and then, as I work with them here at St. Thomas. It's something that is as delightful now as it was all those years ago, and it's a powerful experience to recognize that as we grow, we also get ready to be in relationship with God, and to take on those great commandments, to love God and to love our neighbor. We're always working out what that means from a very young age. And it's so powerful a fact of human existence that it even made it into the movie Home Alone, where Kevin is able to seize on empathy as the actual path to adulthood. That's how profound a truth it is, that it even winds up in slapstick comedy films. Now, Jesus will go into his adulthood after we hear this story, and we'll start to hear about his ministry and his life and his teachings. But in a way, we're called to follow his example even from this beginning, this moment in the temple where he came and he listened and he asked questions and he gave answers. The world is going to ask us to do that over and over again. It's always going to bring up a new challenge to us each and every day and each and every way, to respond to the questions of life with the answers of faith. And it's on us to make sure that we're prepared to give those answers. Jesus gives us the formula, right? We go and we listen to the faithful people we know in our lives, whether they be in the temple or the church or our families or our friendships or our communities. Wherever we have in our lives people who are in relationship with God, people who know how to love God, people who know how to love our neighbors as ourselves, it's on us to make sure that we're talking with them and listening to them, asking them questions, and preparing our own answers for faith. Because the world's going to ask again, and the questions are going to come up in unexpected ways. They're going to break into our lives as readily and as directly as those two bumbling robbers break into the house in Home Alone. And we're called to respond with the adulthood of faith. We're called to respond with the answers that we can find in our own hearts and our own souls. God gives us the gift of a beginning there. He teaches us things like love and empathy and gives them to us to have and to reside in our hearts. We've all got the skill set, but we don't all practice it regularly. We don't all follow that first example of Jesus of making a point of going to the temple and listening and asking questions and preparing answers. But when we do, we do what Jesus did, and we amaze people. The lessons of love offered into a world that needs them, they amaze people. Healing offered into suffering, patience offered into anxiety, love and truth offered even into the world's violence are amazing and astonishing things. And like the life and ministry of Jesus, when we practice those things, when we exercise them in our own lives, in our own communities, we change the broken and hurting world a little bit at a time to be a little bit more the kingdom of God and the world that God would have it be. We're still looking for that world. We're still looking for a world where if a mother leaves a child behind and travels a day's journey, she doesn't have to be anxious that the world might hurt her child. We're looking for a world where no father should need to worry that his son or daughter who's away from them might be subject to the brokenness or the despair or the violence of creation. We would love to have a world that is absolved of human sin, washed clean of it, and made as holy and as profound and as deep and loving and caring as God would have it be. We're not there yet. But that doesn't mean we can't do anything about it. It doesn't mean that we can't begin to move the world back towards that. We do it, we're called into it through our baptism as Christians, through the ways in which we follow Jesus, through the ability that we have that he's given us to follow his example, to take in his teachings, to ask questions of them, to listen to them, to learn from them, and to begin to prepare answers for a world that's going to ask the questions again. My prayer for you is that you can have those holy conversations. We're facing a new year. It's now 2015, and a transition of a year is a wonderful time to think about what it is that we need to leave behind and what it is that we need to carry forward. I invite you for this year to think about the broken things that you've experienced, the hurting places you've seen, the suffering that you felt in your own life, and to find what among it you can leave behind and what among it you can heal going forward into a new year. To look around and see what in the world you might be called to enter into. It's a dangerous thing. It's a provocative thing. It's one that might hurt us. Our ministry in the world might take us through suffering or brokenness. But when we exercise it in love, it also brings us into the fullest adulthood we can possibly know. It brings us into our spiritual maturity, and we find victories in offering healing to the world that are the greatest victories of our lives. We find things to celebrate when we meet companions on the journey and realize that we're all bound up in this work together. And we meet God most deeply when we tell the truth most boldly. It's an invitation that's open to every person at every point in time, and it's an invitation that God is offering you now and today and for this year. My prayer is that you can take those simple steps that Jesus did so long ago as a child and listen and ask questions, grow and prepare your answers. May you find the faith and the strength to do those things, and may you meet Jesus within them. In his name we pray. Amen.